Welcome. You're listening to a UC Davis Center for Poverty Research Conference podcast. I'm the center's director, Ann Stevens. In November 2013, the center hosted the conference, The Affordable Care Act and Low-Income Populations, Lessons from and Challenges for Research. The conference featured top healthcare experts from across the country to discuss the rollout of the Affordable Care Act and what the new system means for poverty in the United States. In this presentation, Robin Afrheim discusses the impact the Affordable Care Act can have on community clinics that currently serve uninsured and poor populations. Afrheim is CEO of CommuniCare Health Centers.
I'm Robin Afrheim, and I'm a CEO of CommuniCare Health Centers, which actually is an FQHC, and you seem to know a lot about it. I think you've heard a lot about FQHCs today. But we started as the Davis Free Clinic in Davis in 1972, and so last year we celebrated our 40th anniversary. We've been around for a long time, and we've seen a lot of growth over the years. And the thing about FQHCs is that not only do we provide comprehensive services, culturally competent, but it is our mission to see the uninsured. It's our mission to see people that don't have access anywhere else. And we do have a sliding scale, which is kind of really important. So we've grown CommuniCare. We now have five sites here, Davis Community Clinic, Salute Clinic in West Sacramento, two clinics in Woodland, Peterson, and John H. Jones, and a part-time dental clinic in Esparto. For us in the health center world, this is great. I mean, honestly, the expansion of Medi-Cal and the ability for our long-term uninsured to be able to get coverage is really something we've been working for years. I don't think it goes far enough, but it is really a good thing. I was recently at our national conference in Chicago, and the president of our national association is from the state of Louisiana. And I sat there while he was talking thinking, I'm really glad I'm from California, because Louisiana is not doing the Medicaid expansion in that case, and not doing the health benefit exchange. And he in that state, they have to struggle. As FQHCs, we all got funding for outreach and enrollment. So they did get some funding for that. So what they're working on is getting more people that are currently eligible for Medi-Cal on, the people that are under 100% of poverty. And actually in that state, it's state by state, I think it's like 50% of poverty. So for a lot of reasons, I'm really glad we're in California, where we're going to be able to really help people get coverage. So for us, it is about Medi-Cal expansion. It's really about outreach and enrollment right now, totally. And then in planning, it's about how many residually uninsured will we still have and what's access to care going to look like. We started playing around with numbers because we had to plan something, and we had to do some estimates based on the information that we had. This is from the census, and while it's not great, it allowed us to look at our population in Yolo County and see what do we need to plan for in our health centers. So the population actually now is closer to 202,000 in Yolo County, we've consistently had about 25,000 uninsured, and now we can actually say what's going to happen to those uninsured people. There are a certain percentage of undocumented that are not eligible for anything, and I actually believe it's larger in the county. But that gives us about 16,000 people that will be eligible for Medi-Cal expansion up to 138% of poverty, and then subsidy for under the health benefit exchange under Covered California, and then a very smaller percentage of people in the county that will be unsubsidized over 400% of poverty. I think that's because in Yolo County, a lot of the employers offer health insurance. So one thing that is important in our county, and I think throughout the state, and I believe that the previous speakers were talking about this. So there was planning in the state, knowing that this was coming, well, assuming that it was going to be coming, and for the people that were already eligible by economics for Medi-Cal, which is under 100% of poverty, but they were the single adults, they were called the LIPS, the low-income health programs, and we call it Path to Health. So those people will automatically transition into Medi-Cal. In Yolo County, we have Partnership Health Plan, which is we're a county-organized health system, Medi-Cal managed care, and all of those people will go into Partnership Health Plan. We hope that that goes well. That's the plan. And then there's the expansion, and then there's people that are eligible for subsidy. So as far as outreach and enrollment, like I said, we did receive funding to do that, and we have 9. We call them client benefit advocates. They're also known as navigators. They're known as certified assisters. They've been through the training with Covered California. They've been through the background checks. Now you have to be fingerprinted. And we're waiting slowly but surely. They're getting their, what's called numbers, they're actually getting certified. So of the 9, 3 have gotten their certification, although they all passed the test. And that's extremely important because they're going to be located in our clinics and out in the community, and they can help anyone. But in order to help people get on Medi-Cal, you have to be certified by Covered California because you have to go into their system. And so we're also, it's very interesting because we're also finding a little glitch right now in that the county and the state is not ready to actually put onto Medi-Cal the people under expansion. So if you're 100% or less of poverty, you could get on Medi-Cal today. And Medi-Cal will not have an open enrollment. You can always get on Medi-Cal. But if you are the MAGI, or the expanded Medi-Cal, from 100 to 138% of poverty, if you applied today before January 1st, you would be denied. And so even though we thought the system would be set up to take the people that will be eligible and set their applications aside and give them tentative approval, and then on January 1st they'll go in. But it isn't quite happening that way. So we're working with our county to figure out what we can do to make sure that we can help people fill out their applications now, maybe hold them, and then right before January 1st submit them again. So for us, we're doing some planning, and we're also doing in-reach and outreach, and we're really planning to contact all of our patients, our current patients who have been coming to us, that are in the Path to Health, to make sure that they know that they're clear on what's going to be happening to them, that they have that we are still their primary care provider, and make sure that they transition well into Medi-Cal. We're also going to be identifying, and we can do this. We have an electronic health record, so we can go in. We get a lot of this data by payer and by income, and we can figure out more or less how many of our people have fallen off of Medi-Cal or the LIP program, and call them to see if we can get them on, have them come in and help them fill out the application, because they're eligible today. And then we will eventually be contacting the people that would be eligible for the expansion, and probably be calling the people that will be eligible for Covered California. But we don't, for our patients, 98% of our patients are under 200% of poverty. We don't think it's going to be, of our current patients, we don't think many of them are going to be eligible for Covered California. So these are our numbers. Again, we just estimated when we did this, these were the numbers. They're probably different today. But at any given time, we have 36 to 40% of our patients are uninsured. And so looking at those numbers, what can we see? And the one of the numbers that really jumped out at me was the Medi-Cal expansion. That's one of the estimates we saw from the county. That's 50% of all the people in the county that are already coming to us that are uninsured in that category, which is good because we'll be able to contact them. And that's a lot of people, and that's 15% of our users. So now that we're going to get people on, we're going to do everything we can to get everybody on, will we have access to care? And so that's really a lot of where the planning is and where we are doing educated guessing, educated estimating, but actually could probably use better data. I'm really not sure it's there. But we're looking, there's a couple of things that we're looking at is actually we think there's some numbers I've seen. If you read different studies, I think there was a study from Cal Berkeley and UCLA that said for the people that have fallen off of Medi-Cal, only 40% of those people will actually enroll, which I think is actually true, because there's a reason that they've fallen off, and it maybe they don't want to be on Medi-Cal, maybe they're hard to reach, but I think that's probably true. So I think that, but what we don't know is how many will we really enroll in the first year? I'm estimating just about 50% will actually enroll in the first year. We're estimating, but we have to plan for something because we have to plan for expansion. So you did hear, and it is true, that in the ACA, there was specific funding for federally qualified health centers, and one was outreach and enrollment. There's been funding for us to get certified as patient-centered health homes. But there also was capital money. And CommuniCare was lucky enough, our timing was good. We are building a brand new health center in Woodland, which will replace our two very old, outdated centers, putting all of our services, medical, dental, behavioral health, substance abuse, perinatal, outreach, education, all in one site. And we were able to get a $5 million grant. And for a $9.3 million project, it made it doable. We would have to have a lot of financing. We would have done it, but it would have been financed very differently. So that's really great because what do you do to expand? Well, you have bigger buildings, you hire more staff, or you have more hours. And we're also looking at that, more evenings and actually opening on Saturdays. And it isn't just provider staff, which of course is extremely important. Everything starts with the provider, but it's also support staff as well. So residually insured is a really big thing for us. We estimating if our numbers are correct, our uninsured will go from 40% to 25%, but I think we will always have uninsured coming to the clinic for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the undocumented. We don't know exactly how many people use the clinic that are undocumented because we don't ask, but we have a guess. We heard earlier about the Invincibles. I think it is true that some young, healthy adults will choose in maybe the first year or so not to be insured. But when their penalty gets higher, they might decide to do that. In Massachusetts, and maybe I wasn't here for the whole conference, so you may have heard this, but in Massachusetts, they found that towards the very end, the young healthy adults were waiting and waiting, and towards the very end, they started enrolling because they got worried about the penalty. I do think that there's a lot of people that we see that go on and off of Medi-Cal eligibility because when they're working, they have more income, or maybe a family member joins the household and they have an income, but they're still very low income. And I think that they actually will choose not to do, when they can be on Medi-Cal, that will be great, but when they're not, I think they'll be uninsured because I don't think they're going to be able to afford the premium and certainly not the deductibles. And then there is a category legal resident in the United States for less than 5 years. They're not eligible to either. And people will just miss open enrollment. Again, Medi-Cal there isn't. You can always apply for Medi-Cal, but for Covered California, that there will be some people that do miss it. This year, it's extended through March 31st. And then next year, so we've heard, unless it decided to change, and next year it'll be just for about five weeks, October and November. But we do need to remember this is a really good thing, and we will succeed. There will be real change, and we will have a lot fewer patients without coverage, which is really, really great for their health care, as you'll hear to a story from Chris, when you don't have health insurance. And then more people, not just in Yolo County, but everywhere that has expanded coverage will have a true medical home. They'll be able to choose a provider and stay with that provider. And there will be positive changes in individual and population health. We're going to have to really work on that. But, the triple aim, we will be working on that. And I think I'm optimistic.
I'm Ann Stevens, the director of the Center for Poverty Research at UC Davis, and I want to thank you for listening. The center is one of three federally designated poverty research centers in the United States. Our mission is to facilitate nonpartisan academic research on domestic poverty, to disseminate this research, and to train the next generation of poverty scholars. Core funding comes from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information about the center, visit us online at poverty.ucdavis.edu.